But while you're doing that, just remember these are the three books, and that something very special happened today. And Mr. Costa, could you stand up?
Please stand up.
Let's recognize Hamilton Costa. Disrupting the Future is now in Portuguese.
But it's also in Japanese.
Right? So it now joins the Japanese version, and there's a Russian version somewhere in the world, probably in Russia.
Here's the translator.
Thank you.
Here. So we're going to start with questions, and because I have the microphone, I get to start first.
Yes, okay.
The questions are lining up, so we're going to have some good discussion here. But you said that the numbers show that digital printing firms tend to have higher sales per employee than conventional printing firms. What do you attribute that to?
Well, if I want to put my estimator hat on, it means that their costs are higher. What do I attribute that to? It really is hard to say. I'll tell you what I want to say, that they're getting much more value-added and they're much more profitable than everybody else. I think there is some reason to believe that they are on net charging more for the job.
Even though the job is shorter, they are charging more.
But you have to look at it. Remember, one of the reasons to use digital printing is because of shorter runs, so the customers may feel that they're saving money. Because they bought a total job for a smaller amount of money than an offset job, right? Because they didn't have to pay for the offset waste and startup. So it may seem cheaper to them, but on a per piece basis, on a per copy basis, they're actually paying more as far as the printer is concerned.
Except that they're not paying for the inventory waste.
Right. Mr. Impulsi wants to disagree.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I tried to ask him not to come to this year.
Wouldn't you think that it would be also a result of the fact that there are more jobs, and for the same amount of volume, you have more jobs, so you're charging actually more per piece?
Right. You bring up a very, very good point. And this has a lot to do with the original failure of most digital printing installations, was that they were used to selling $10,000 and $5,000 sheet fed jobs, and then people were coming to them with $750 and $1,000 digital printing jobs. And they couldn't amass enough of those jobs together to make up enough to counterbalance the fact that they weren't getting the $10,000 and $5,000 jobs. I think a lot of companies are past that now. They started to accumulate enough jobs to that. And that's one area where web-to-print is really important. The big web-to-print company, of course, is Vistaprint, which proves that if you keep a pipeline open and keep filling it up, you can optimize your process because you have more and more jobs in them. But since a lot of digital printing companies are doing more web-to-print than traditional companies, that's one way they may not realize this, but that's one way that they start to ensure that the pipeline is always or fuller than it would have been otherwise, and that they can always get more and more jobs on that basis. Yes.
I thought I would hear more about packaging. That seemed to be the emphasis or the suggestion about opportunity the last couple of years. But I didn't hear anything. Does that mean the bloom is off the rose?
I've always felt that the opportunities in packaging have been overblown. I mean, it's not as big a market as people assume it is. I'll tell you where the assumption that it was a huge market. I'll tell you why it's an important market. The reason why it was a huge market is that some market analysts looked at the size of the commercial printing industry, and then they looked at ink shipments, and they said, oh, the commercial printing industry uses this much. The packaging industry uses, I think the number was 80% of the amount of ink that the commercial printing industry uses, so therefore, packaging must be 80% of the value of commercial printing. And that's not the way it's done, because you start to realize, just walking down any supermarket aisle, packaging is printed on one side. The same image is used constantly. They will be printing Frito bags for weeks that look exactly the same. It's very much unlike when you would print something like Time Magazine, and have 64 pages that would be different every single week and versioned editions around the country and a circulation of 3 million. That's not the same as printing 3 million Frito bags. So that's where people started to get it wrong. Now, why is it important? Well, it's important first on a cross-media basis, because those images that are part of packaging end up becoming part of cross-media campaigns, whether it's B2B or whether it's a business to consumer. So you have to use those kind of images. And then the other trick is that a lot of the packaging is printed by a different print process than a lot of the other branding things. So there's a big technology and skill issue involved in that. So that's one area where packaging is a very, very big opportunity in managing, you know, a bag maybe printed in Flexo, and then you may be producing ads that have to get printed in a gravure magazine, and then you've got to do things for offset brochures and support materials that go through your distribution channel and all that. So that's where a lot of packaging comes in. It comes in the digital asset management side and the conversion to the different processes. And then there are many other factors. Small batches being produced by digital printing. Test marketing being produced by digital printing, but you have to do it on a substrate that has to fit on a bottle of a particular type and all that. So the overestimation of the print of packaging has been one problem, and the underestimation of the complexity and the nature of it has been the other. So you've had many printers punt and get into folding cartons. But when you try to get in the other stuff, it's really a very subtle and amazing business. And it's hard for printers to just get into that business because a lot of those relationships are long-term, they're confidential, they require investment in specialized equipment, and it's just not the same.
Plus, you know, it's a big risk for a brand owner to change a critical element in their supply chain, which is that packaging converter. So I'm just going to say this because I'm old and I can say what I want to, but I think that the vendors do a great disservice to the industry when they say, oh, you know, you're a commercial printer, you should go into packaging, because it's just not that easy. You know, printers should go into it with their eyes wide open, that it's a different challenge. Not that it's just another thing, like I'm going to print a brochure today and a folding carton tomorrow.
Right.
That way.
Well,
so
all you got to do is go to a packaging show and see how mobile printing is really there.
Right. Right.
We have a question about whether the slides will be
available. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you know, we drank the Kool-Aid, so you know, we're into packaging now, and you're right, it's a bit of a struggle. So I want to see who I should take
that. You're better. There was a question about whether the slides are going to be available today.
Oh, absolutely. The slides will be available, and
the
edited recording will be available too. Edited.
Where will
I'll give the right answers in the recording.
Where will they go to get that?
It will be somewhere up on what they think. If you get the economics newsletter, we'll make sure it's linked there, and then on the regular site in a few days, we'll make sure that there's a link there. But the economic newsletter will have it first.
And if you don't get the economics newsletter, sign up for it today, please.
Yep. What was?
We can do an e-blast out with it to all the registered.
Oh, that'd be great. All right, so Unisource will do that as well.
Thank you, Nancy. That's great. Okay, any other questions for our expert speaker here? We have a question here. Eric, is there a question here? One more question.
He's got a question.
Of course, Gary.
He emails me questions.
Gary, I think we should give a round of applause to Gary because he is the most faithful attendee ever of What They Think webinars, and he always asks a question. So, yay, Gary.
Or is it a man question, Dr. Joe?
I only count because the content's so great. There are some economists that are predicting another recession the second half of next year. Can you comment on that? And what impact do you think that's going to have on an already beat-up industry?
Yeah. Okay. There's good reason to believe that we never got out of the recovery. Remember the definition of there's a definition of when they declare a recession and the definition, you know, of the other stuff. But a recession begins and ends at the last peak and then it ends at the bottom. And the recovery ends moving from the bottom to where it reaches the peak where the recession started. Okay? There's a lot of data that would indicate we've never completed the recovery. GDP is like the only one that says that the recovery has ended and we're now back into a different phase of the economy. But as you saw from the employment data, you look at the Federal Reserve manufacturing data, and you look at a whole bunch of other things. Something is going on with the GDP data, and there's a great suspicion that they are using an underestimated inflation adjustment in doing that, which makes economic growth look bigger than it actually is. So, I'm answering your question several ways. First thing is, we never really have completed the recovery, so things will continue to be slow. Will we have another recession? There's good reason to believe that one may have already started. That with the decline in employment that we've seen over the past few months and some of the negative revisions that we've had, that looking back at things 6 months or 9 months from now, they may come back to say, okay, a recession may have started sometime in June or July of this year. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I just see things kind of moving sideways. But there's a good case to be made that will happen. I think there was another aspect of that I wanted to get to. And, oh, in one sense, it doesn't make a difference. If you haven't had a robust recovery, how deep would a next recession be? I mean, we've already been through the worst of it. I doubt it would be very, very deep on top of that. Then the question is, what happens with corporate budgets and the nature of media? Now, the way it reacted last time was not necessarily a decline in print because of that, but it did start media shifts very dramatically to the kinds of media where you don't have to buy space or time, which is when social media was there to get most of that effort. So on that chart that I had for the advertising agency revenues, their trough was not very, very deep. They had one, but it wasn't very, very deep. And I think that will be the case again, that we will get more incentive to shift to some other kinds of media or to shift traditional offset over to more manageable order quantities using digital printing. I think, one, you can't insulate yourself from digital media by investing in digital printing, but you may be able to insulate yourself from a decline in overall print use by having an investment in digital printing. So it won't save you from digital media, but it'll save you from some of the bad stuff that happens on the printing side. Yes?
Oh, what do you see as a future of sheet-fed offset printing?
It's called digital printing. Tell me what part of the...
I get
you said you work for Heidelberg, is that the...
No, I just get the sense, over the years that...
So seriously, what company?
Alpha Graphics.
Okay, where's your shop?
Austin, Texas.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
That's a good economy. So you know, part of doing well in printing is to be in a place that's growing. I mean, there's no way around that.
Seems to be offset's not very healthy to the industry. If I look at the big trends, I would.
What is it you're planning to do with sheet-fed offset?
Nothing.
Then why the heck are you asking?
Because I know it's still other people that are
I would tell you this, if you're a small business and you're saying, gee, I wish I had some offset capabilities. No, but if you were, let's say you had that rum that Carrie wanted at the beginning, and you say, oh, gee, I'll think about it. It is likely you're going to be able to satisfy whatever your requirements are through some kind of used equipment. That's one thing that happens in this kind of environment. The used equipment on the market tends to be younger than it was historically. So you can generally find some good deals about that if you were planning to do something.
You're not saying offset's dead.
I'm not saying offset's dead. No.
I'm
not saying it's pining for the fjords either. If any of you know the Monty Python dead parrot sketch, you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
So it's interesting because some of us attended on Saturday night a Komori press conference, and I really saw, I'm not saying that they're the only ones, but they're a good example of a company that's saying, you know what, offset's not going away, but the future is hybrid. And they're making significant investments in the digital side. And we saw Heidelberg do that a number of years ago. It might have been too early, and then, in the market for that, it didn't work out too well. But, you know, you look at a company like Mori that's partnering with Benny Landa and partnering with Konica Minolta to do hybrid machines that include digital and offset. Plus, they continue to improve their offset lines. So, I mean, I think you're going to see more of that kind of thing where, you know, where those companies realize they're not going to be selling the number of offset presses they were, and they're shifting a lot of their research and development to more digital types of technologies.
If there's any investment that you make for the long term, and you still want to be involved in the printing industry, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, I'm saying that's in your heart where you want to be, it's on the digital infrastructure of the workflow and those aspects of the business, because those will be connected to all these other various devices and help you handle all the digital media that you're going to have to, if not develop for your own clients, but you're going to have to at least cope with it in some way. And that and the training of your people in those aspects of the business. That's your best defense against the technological obsolescence on the output side.
And one way that you can sort of do that, obviously there's a lot of stuff here at the show, but I wanted to make a little pitch for a series of articles that we're running this year on what they think by David Zwang, who was here earlier, but I think he left, that on workflow. And if you haven't read those, I highly recommend that you do. Those are all free articles, and you can just look up Zwang, Z-W-A-N-G, and you'll be able to access all of them. We have a question back here. Saw a question?
Yeah. You mentioned that there was a non-mail type of opportunity for digital print, and you mentioned something about events. You said something about wide format. So if that's not signage, what is the opportunity? I was kind of wondering if it was something like printing out Facebook pages and having monthly meetups, or what is the...
Oh, that's good, too. signage is a very, very broad term. Sometimes that's product display or some kind of retail display, but there are signs related to specific events, such as when you walked here, I understand that Takei's did our signs.
Yes, Takei's did our signs.
And so that's just a one-off. They're only good for about 3 or 4 hours, and then, you know, it's finished. And there are more permanent signs, which is retail signage and the like. But even small businesses require some kind of signage for if they do a customer event or having a sale or whatever, and getting plugged into that can be helpful for some very basic wide format work.
And we saw a lot of signage. We were at 2K's on Friday, and we saw, man, you cannot believe some of the things that they're doing. I can't tell you about them because they would shoot me. Some very big packaged foods companies and the kinds of stuff that they're doing now to be able to regionalize the signs. It's amazing.
A lot of these applications are considered on a technical basis to be outside of the commercial printing business. And there's a redefinition of what we do going on. So you don't always think, oh, commercial printing. It's in a variety of areas. A lot of businesses are doing things that photo labs used to do. And so all because of the different kinds of digital devices that are there now.
Well, what are those social media people that you meet with on Thursday? What are they asking for? What are their fantasies for?
They're not just social media people. These are movers and shakers in Raleigh, North Carolina. Come on. But the 20-somethings who are all VPs, right? Yes. It's interesting. You hear a lot of different sides in those panel discussions and various discussions you have there. On one hand, they're really curious about what different kinds of media can do for their business for a particular task, and also in the long term. So they're always experimenting about that. Lurking over their back is the CFO, who's saying, we have a budget of $100,000, $500,000, $1 million, whatever, for your department. What are we getting out of that? So that's where a lot of the pressure for analytics and response rates and those kinds of things are coming from. So they are looking for a lot of social media pages, websites, blogs, all those kinds of things, because they're measurable. because you can get analytics on an ongoing basis. You can adjust messages. You can add new messages depending on what happens with that digital traffic or what kind of responses you get from them. The only thing I don't hear from them is the importance of sustaining and expanding corporate image. And that sometimes gets lost in this process. So the way they cure that is by keeping control of their branding throughout all of these things. So if you have a good client who's very concerned about their brand, the colors of the brand, the design of the brand, the use, the size, and all those kinds of things, and can take them through all those different kinds of media, they tend to value those kinds of things. But they're looking for something that they can measure, something that they can go back to the accounting people and say, okay, this is what we got out of this particular program. And not just in this group, but as I read the literature of what's going on in marketing, in advertising age, and all those other programs, you hear more and more people talking about, we never had a CFO in our marketing meeting before, and now all of a sudden those people are there. And it's not said in a very pleasant way, but, you know, they realize that's the nature of the business. They have to understand the results. And marketing, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, Donald Draper is dead, right? When marketing can get away with murder, kind of, right? No one knows who Donald Draper is, right? Okay, good. So a Mad Men fan. Okay, good.
So we are out of time. I think Dr. Joe can hang around for a little while and chat with you folks. I want to take a moment just to thank our sponsor, Unisource, and Nancy, Sophie. It was great working with you on this. Thank you for your thought leadership and sponsoring this program. And we will look forward to seeing you guys all online, and of course next year here at Graph Expo to hear Dr. Joe again.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.